Hello, and welcome to Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Marianne Jepson, your host, along with my co-host, Father John Sims Baker, who is the Vice Rector of the College of Liberal Arts at the Pontifical College Josephinum. This show is about you. We want you to be a part of this show. We want to help you in the challenges of life and help you to really find ways to do just exactly what the title of the show is, Abide in Hope. And that hope comes from our Lord. That hope comes from His grace and His gifts. And so we hope to be a little bit of a part of your journey. You can submit questions for the show on abidinginhope.com, or you can even stop by St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and park your questions here at the office, and they will pass them on to us. So we're so grateful to have you with us. Again, I am a Catholic therapist here in Columbus, Ohio, and Father Baker, the Vice Rector of the College of Liberal Arts at the Pontifical College Josephinum. He is also a priest of the Diocese of Nashville, and with that, I always say, how you doing, Father?
I'm just finer than a frog's hair, Marianne.
And that's mighty fine.
And that does come from Nashville. From Columbus.
That's right. So we have to add a little of that Nashville flavor into Ohio. It's always good to do that. So it's great to be with you, Father. And I have a question. One of our listeners, a couple of listeners submitted questions. So we will get on with the questions, but as always, we want to start off with prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you and glorify you and ask once again for an increase of the virtue of hope, knowing that hope is your gift and is our complete confidence and certitude that you are always faithful. That with you, all is for good. Whatever we may face, we know that you are faithful. You cannot be untrue to yourself. And this gives us hope to go forward. So we ask for this virtue, an increase of this virtue for ourselves, and that we might also be a witness to hope in our world, where there are many, many hopeless people and people looking for hope. So that we, by the witness of our lives, might be a sign of your fidelity, of hope. And we ask all these prayers through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Amen. We especially ask our intercession of our Blessed Mother, who herself lived this virtue in the preeminent degree, as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Such a beautiful prayer. Thank you, Father. So our first question here today is this. My husband and I married 24 years ago. When I said I do, I meant it for life. My husband, however, didn't seem to have that same intent, as he divorced me after years of abuse and infidelity. He has now moved in with another woman. I have filed for an annulment, but my husband refused to be a part of that process. While in some ways I feel like his divorcing me was a gift because I would never have been the one to leave, I still feel very broken because of the broken vows. I feel tied to my vows, even as I filed the annulment papers and await the decision of the tribunal. If the annulment comes through, will I be assured that I am not offending God by the breaking of the vows? Will I ever feel free again? Father?
Well, first of all, it's very understandable that you should have these feelings that you're experiencing, the feeling of brokenness in this situation. And you shouldn't feel guilty about feeling that way. This is not obviously what you intended or what you desired when you entered into marriage. You seem to have had the intention and have given the consents that the church expects of those entering into the sacrament of matrimony. And the fact that the marriage has progressed in the way that it has, obviously there's going to be an experience of brokenness. Do you know there's another person, though, who has experienced this kind of brokenness and this experience of the hurt of infidelity? And that is God himself. In the Old Testament, God describes through the prophets his relationship to the people of Israel as a, in this case, a husband who has been treated with infidelity by his spouse. And yet he remains faithful. This is one of the great examples of the virtue of hope that we have, the fidelity of God. No matter what we do, God always remains faithful. And so I want you to put your hope there in God. So it's even though you're experiencing these feelings of brokenness. So to get to the questions per se, if the annulment comes through, will I be assured that I'm not offending God by the breaking of the vows? Well, very simply, I don't want to get into a lot of the whole sort of canon law analysis there, but very simply, I just want to maybe be a little precise about language here. What the church offers, technically speaking, is called a decree of nullity rather than the word annulment. And you might be thinking I'm just quibbling with words, but I think it goes to the heart of your question here. A decree of nullity says that despite the external appearances and maybe the words that were said, there was something lacking in the formation of this marriage to begin with. Perhaps, if this is found by the tribunal, your husband's intent was lacking in some way, or his capacity was lacking in some way. And so what would be said is that this marriage was never actually formed sacramentally. And so you would not therefore be breaking your vows. And as a matter of fact, you have tried to be faithful to them as well. So again, you certainly are not offending God by seeking this decree of nullity, and if it's granted, to live in according to what that says. That's precisely actually what a decree of nullity is supposed to give you, is freedom, actually. Mm-hmm. So, and then that last question, will I ever feel free again? Well, again, Your feelings are hard to say. I think there will be healing here, but sometimes that takes time. And Marianne, you can talk more about the emotional health and that sort of thing. But I would say the process going through the process through the tribunal of seeking a decree of nullity. What the church is trying to do is just to determine the truth, and we just have to remember the words of our Lord. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I would say, placing your hope in those words, which are the words of the Lord who is always faithful, yes, you will know freedom again.
And this church is the institution of the Lord. It's not a man-made institution. So the church, because of that, really has very good ways of investigating these decrees of nullity, everything that goes into the decree of nullity. They have standard practices and things that really have come because this is the Lord's church. It's not a man-made church.
Right, and
that's
the
sacraments. So we have to trust in them.
Right. The sacraments in the catechism, the definition of a sacrament is an efficacious sign instituted by Christ and entrusted to the church.
Yeah.
So the church has the authority to act in the name of Christ regarding the sacraments. So if this decree comes out as you're seeking, then you can rest assured in that and have mm-hmm. confidence in that.
And Father, when you said I can handle those feelings parts, so this is
well,
one
I
of
think
those
that's
things.
More up your alley than mine, maybe.
So this is one of those things. As you were speaking, an image came to mind. And it was just one of those beautiful things. It was a few weeks ago at Mass, and it was, I think, right after the psalm or somewhere in the midst of the psalm about how God is loving and merciful. And I happened to glance over, and I saw a young father holding his infant son. He had two other children there that were older, but what that father was doing with that son was so beautiful. His gaze upon that child was, I honestly do not remember the second reading, nor do I remember the gospel. And I probably came back to earth somewhere in the midst of the homily. I'm not proud to say that, but I think that the Lord used that glance for something that was very instructive of God's love and his mercy.
Well, you know, Marianne, if it's any consolation to you for your distraction, I was just reading from no less authority than the Pope Emeritus, Pope Benedict, saying that perhaps the most essential word of the gospel is the word Abba.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I think maybe you were caught up in a meditation, not a distraction, but perhaps a meditation on that reality, in seeing that loving glance of that father for that little helpless infant child, and mirroring, being an icon for you of the love of the Father. You know?
And that's exactly what it was.
So I think you did get the gospel, even if you don't remember.
I don't remember what it was. I can't remember where it came, Matthew, Mark, Luke, who was it? I'm not sure. But the Lord was speaking to me in that moment about his goodness and his mercy as a father, and that there is nothing that he wouldn't do for one of his children. His love is so great. And as I looked at that father, looking at that son, I was thinking about, that's just such an innocent baby, but yet life happens, and things good and bad happen in the life of a child. And the father will be there for all of those things for that child, to give love and mercy. And so I think for this woman who has suffered the divorce, not because it was anything that she wanted, she tried to remain faithful to her father and to her husband. But the brokenness that's there, there's nothing that he can't come in and heal your wounds on. And typically when terrible things happen in our lives, it takes us a while. We don't just like snap to and think, oh, okay, well, that's done and over, and now what's the next step? Mm-hmm. Our feelings, our emotions, especially when they're as deep as they are and they're tied to, am I hurting my beloved father, God, in the process of this thing that I did, this sin that wasn't yours, it was someone else's that you got sucked into. He's there with mercy and love for you.
And I would just encourage and second what you're saying there about not, I wouldn't worry so much about offending God or having some question about offending God. I think when we have actually done something to offend God, you know, we know that. It sounds like you have a very beautifully well-formed conscience. What we really need to do, and I think this is hard for a lot of people, including myself, is to let God delight in us.
Mm.
And so realize that he delights in you.
That's so true.
He really does. And we know that. He is pleased, you know, that you desire to please him. And so try to open your heart and experience some of that delight. Maybe imagining yourself like the little baby that Marianne saw at church and seeing the loving attention of his father, you know, mm-hmm. looking down at him. And so to do that, to let God be God Father for you.
Father, I love that you use the word delight, because you know why? I'm doing a little bit of writing. I'm hopefully going to put it up on the Abiding in Hope website. And I was like, what do I call this? Because I'm going to write about this little incident. And I chose the word, the Father's Delight.
Great.
That was the title, I'm thinking. So anyway, we have more questions. Do you think we've kind of accomplished what we wanted on that one?
I think
I believe
so.
We have. Okay. So If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, co-host with Father John Sims Baker, who is the Vice Director of the College of Liberal Arts at the Pontifical College Josephinum, and he's also a diocesan priest in Nashville. So we're so blessed that you are transplanted here. We hope we can keep you for a good long time. Our next question, Father, is, I'm discouraged about many things in my life right now, things that have not turned out the way I had hoped, broken relationships, the death of loved ones, and the poor choices some of my children have made. Just when I feel like things can't get much worse, something else happens. What can I do to get back the joy I once had and change the way I approach this difficult time in my life? Right now, every day seems to just discourage me more than the day before.
Well, this is a very, again, I think many, many people listening to this can probably relate to this situation and this question. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes many people go through times and feel this way. Right at the beginning of this question and right at the end of it, there's a significant word, and it's the word discourage. I just heard a wonderful talk, and it, one of the things in the talk was getting to understand the devil's ID. And it was literally, it was these words that start with I and these words that start with D. And one of the chief of the words starting with D that is one of the devil's chief in his toolbox, one of his go-to tools, is discouragement, is to discourage. And so when you're experiencing discouragement, right there, just recognize what it is. Recognize this is a spiritual attack of the evil one. And the first thing I would say to do is resist it. Resist it. Remind yourself of your closeness to God. There's another important word you asked about. What can I do to get back the joy I once had? And I think it's important for us to reflect on what joy is. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, joy is the conscious possession of something that is good. Or in more personal terms, it is being united to the beloved. So when you feel a lack of joy or being discouraged, realize that that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to rob you of joy, but he really can't if you don't let him. Because that, all of these things that you mentioned, are they hard? Are they difficult? Absolutely. But they are not things that separate us from the love of God, according to St. Paul. If God is for us, who can be against us? And so I would just encourage you that to choose joy, to resist the discouragement. Say, no, I have the love of God for me. I'm united to my beloved. It's one of the things, again, I think we can think of our Blessed Mother as a wonderful example to us. I would dare to say that even at the foot of the cross, when the lifeless body of her son is laid in her arms, that even at that point, even in the midst of great sorrow, she also knew joy, because she was then, as always, united to her beloved. She possessed the goodness of that relationship with him, even in the midst of that sorrow. And so we see her so courageous, not discouraged, yes, but encouraged.
Yes.
Literally, yeah. Encouraged. So I hope today that Mary Ann and I could perhaps be a Barnabas for you. I love the name Barnabas in the New Testament. Barnabas literally means, it's a nickname that apostle this is, and it means son of encouragement.
Mm.
Think what St. Barnabas must have been like if people gave him the nickname son of encouragement, kind of person you'd want to be around. So hopefully today, Marianne and I can be maybe Barnabases for you to encourage you in the face of this discouragement that the devil is throwing at you. And I would like to help you, because it does take courage.
Mm-hmm.
That is a virtue, the virtue of fortitude. And resist him. Don't let him hoodwink you, that he can rob you of the love of God, because he can't. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Are you going through difficult, painful, maybe even sorrowful things? Indeed, it sounds like you are. And yet, we can unite those to him, just like Mary standing at the foot of the cross right there, united to him. Their two hearts united, as Simeon had prophesied, even though pierced by a sword, but united, never taken apart, always full of courage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage you in that you can do a lot of good in these circumstances, but really even for the whole world, uniting these sorrows of your heart to those of Christ crucified, to those of the sorrowful mother, and let them use that for good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's the idea that we talked about in another show of redemptive suffering.
Exactly. That's so true.
And you can do such good with that.
Yeah. You know, Father, as I look at this too, of course, discourage jumps out a couple times. And so breaking that word down, really lack of courage is what this person is feeling, lack of courage. And as you said, you know, courage is a virtue, the virtue of fortitude. And so what Satan wants us to feel is that you're helpless. You can't do anything. It's just despair. That's all you can have. You can do nothing in this situation. And if we listen to those words and we buy into that, we do nothing. We don't pray. Even if we don't feel like we can, we do nothing. We allow Satan to just batter and beat us up, and we have no courage to do maybe some things that we could do.
Yes.
In this, besides and pray, right?
Praying, seeking good spiritual guidance.
Exactly. That's right. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Going into silence or solitude, as we've talked about as well.
Yes.
Another place where God can speak to you. The sacraments of the church.
Exactly.
And the sacramentals of the church.
We've got a lot of power on our side. He doesn't have the power. Satan does not have the power.
Those are things that can strengthen you.
Yeah.
Go to those places. You know, again, he'll be discouraging you from doing that. Oh, don't do that. Oh, I don't feel like I can do that. But go there.
Right. And as I look at this further too, because things haven't turned out the way that you had hoped, doesn't mean that they haven't turned out maybe in a way that God can turn these things around. He can. Maybe it's not what we wanted, but there's something more there where there's growth for you. There are hidden gems along this way. How do you find a hidden gem in a broken relationship? Well, I don't know. Look back in that and think, did I have any part in that broken relationship? What maybe did I do that helped to break that? Or there's not much you can do about the death of loved ones, but mourn them and release them to God's hands emotionally and know that he's got them now and he knows what he's doing, and just pray for their souls. But also the poor choices of your children. That's not your fault. That's their fault if they're adults now. And I'm assuming they're teens or adults, but here's where courage comes in. So you do need courage maybe to talk to your children. If they keep making poor choices, it's your opportunity to talk with them and how you might need courage to do that, because maybe they don't want to hear it. But praying to God to give you the courage, to give you the right words, let them be his words, not your words, to your children. There are things you can do when the devil wants you to believe that you're helpless in these situations and life just comes battering you left and right. Look back and pray to the Lord and say, help me, you know, because I can't do this alone. I need you, but in you I have all the strength I need.
And it's that idea, again, we've talked about before, of surrender. Mm-hmm. Surrender to God, giving up the illusion of control.
That's right.
And therefore responsibility. Mm-hmm. And to surrender to God. And in that surrender, in that poverty of spirit, to find peace.
Yeah.
And to find hope. So it's a... It's an opportunity, actually. It can be an adventure. These difficulties that you're facing, to take that spirit and embrace that adventure.
I love how you bring in adventure. You brought it in one of the other shows, and I found this quote from Saint Augustine: "To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek Him, the greatest adventure. To find Him, the greatest human achievement." It's so true that these achievements of the world are not going to get us where we want to go. They're, I don't know, they're just stuff for along the way, but he's the greatest achievement. Father, we've come to the end again.
Right. Well, let's close with the blessing. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And send His holy angels to watch over, to guard, cherish, and protect you always.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, and thank you for joining us. Please tune in and go to also abidinginhope.com and drop off your questions there. Until next time, be blessed.